Hello, everybody. Good evening. It is the Fakeologist Show. It's Wednesday, December the 18th, 2024. It's 9:15 in the p.m. We actually made it on time today. The snow wasn't too, didn't really show up today, which is great. And I got all my things done and I got into the studio lickety split. So we got about an hour today, and this is where Fake Nukes Phil shows us more fake Gaza video, and also where Jim Rizzoli joins us for a bit of a chat about his channel and his walk and talks and all the videos he puts up. So let's say welcome to you guys. Hello, how are you?
Very good.
Hello, good to be here.
Yeah, good. Everyone's alive. Jim, you made it another day. Good to see. Of course, I already knew that because you do your walk and talks. You're one of the very few people that does a show every single day of the week. Which do you have any days off at all? Do you have any plan for Christmas?
Well, if my video doesn't make it, you know, something goes wrong with the video or whatever. But no, we do it every day.
Yeah, that takes a lot of dedication. You spend a ton of time. I was saying to my wife tonight, there are very few people that are so consistent with shows. And in your case, I said this at the beginning when you first came on with topics, you are a one topic guy mainly.
I talk about other things. I mean,
oh no, I know that's why you're here, because otherwise we would talk about your main topic and then we'd probably be done. But I know you do talk about a lot of other topics, and I'm going to try and switch it up a little bit tonight as well, just for the audience's interest sake. But you're very dedicated to your one Holocaust topic, which is pretty remarkable in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, that's my major. That's my major thing I want to deal with.
And Phil, of course, you're similar, that your main topic for at least a year seems to be Gaza.
Mm.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yes, well, because it's been so easy, because they're doing all the work for me. They're giving me about 100 videos a week, because everybody's able to use their smartphone in Gaza. They get full internet and they're able to upload all this stuff to social media, which is ridiculous. Because if the war was real, the first thing the Israelis would have done was to knock out the towers, you know, for the internet. But of course, no, not in Gaza. They got full internet service and they're able to upload all the videos they want.
And so how long do you think you're going to be doing this one topic being your main topic? You got thousands of videos by now.
Well, it's going to expand. It's expanded into Syria now and kind of showing how fake Syria is in Lebanon. We're kind of showing how all the countries over there are involved in this. And it's and that's why the war has never ended. That's why it's been going on for 80 years, is because none of the countries over there want it to end, because seems like they're all getting money off of this somehow.
But there has to be an end game. Everything has a beginning, a middle, and an end. So I think the end game is the Greater Israel Project, where this whole area is going to become one.
I think Israel already owns the whole area. You know, that's just a LARP. That's just a distraction. I see plainly that all the governments have been bought by the Zionists, and the Zionists own the whole area. And these people are not nationalists. And so what they do is they play upon our nationalist feelings. And that's why this hoax works so well, because we just can't understand why Israel would do things that make them look bad. You know, like Israel itself releases videos that show them beating up Palestinian children. And it's like, well, why would you release that video? And it's because Israel doesn't care, because Israel wants you to hate them. They don't see that's because we need to throw away our nationalist thinking when we're thinking about Israel, because they're not nationalists. And
well, I think all governments are internationalists at this point.
Yes.
And so I have no doubt Israel's no exception. Hey, Jim, what do you think? Do you think there's an end game to this whole Gaza story? Do you see it ending anytime soon?
Well, I agree with what you said. I mean, it's going to go on and on until Israel gets what they want. And it seems to me no one is objecting to what they want to do. You know, they're just doing whatever they want to do and they get away with it. I don't understand how they get away with it. And all the other nations, especially the United Nations or whatever, they allow them to get away with it. So It's just crazy. I don't get it.
Because America and Britain, I think, are running the whole thing. I don't think I don't agree that with some people that say that Israel is driving this whole thing. I don't think the tail is wagging the dog. I think Israel is just another appendage of the whole British American Empire. I don't know if you guys think similarly.
That could be. You know, I'm not privy to the actual power structure myself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I'm just trying to expose some basic things that are very wrong over there, and trying to identify some patterns is what I'm trying to do. And hopefully if we identify enough patterns, we can get a handle on what's going on over there.
All right. Now I'm going to combine two topics that cause the most stress on Jim's channel: flat earth and fake nukes film. I thought we should talk about this because this is apparently a big deal. I'm not really a flat earth follower. I touched on it in 2015. I've watched it. I have a sub blog because I didn't want the flat earth stuff to take over my blog. So I created a sub blog and I never really did much on it. Flatearth.fakeologist.com. I just put it separate because a lot of people said, if you talk about the flat earth, you're going to wreck everything else you talk about. And I think you've been told the same, Jim. And yeah. Maybe fake nukes. I don't know if you really spend enough time for people to say, oh, you're a flat earther. Everything you say is now discredited.
Simon Shack gets disappointed when I talk about flat earth. Well, yes. I don't really talk about flat earth. I talk about fake outer space. They've been lying to us about outer space. And so by default, people immediately call me a flat earther when I say that. It's like, well, you know, proving that NASA has been lying to us is pretty easy. But as far as the shape of the earth, well, that's kind of more difficult because, you know, I haven't been up there and, you know, I don't have a, but it does appear to be level. I mean, the ocean, I don't believe the ocean bends around a ball. I just don't believe that. The ocean looks pretty flat to me. When I go to the beach, when I look at the horizon, it looks pretty flat to me. So, you know.
Yeah, me too. Now, the story we're talking about is Jaronism was sponsored with two other guys to go to Antarctica. And their intention was to see if there really is a 24-hour sun on the winter solstice, which is around right now, December 21st. And the idea was, I think another flat earth promoter named David Weiss, he said that there is no 24-hour sun in the South Pole because all the videos on YouTube could have been faked, which of course is true. Anything that is able to be fakeable, anything fakeable could be faked for sure. So apparently that was the proof that we're not on a ball earth, that there is no 24-hour sun. So these guys got sponsored. Apparently it cost $30,000 to go down there. I'm not quite sure where that money, how you allocate the money. Because I think it's probably a couple thousand to go down to South America. Where the extra 28,000 comes in, I don't know. But anyway, so they're down there now. I think they have just left. And apparently there is a 24-hour sun. And now they're leaving.
I don't know how I screwed up again and did it the wrong way.
This is Jaronism. Anyway, a lot of people think Jaron is a Jesuit shill, not a Jew, a Jesuit shill. That's his. Mm-hmm. That's what they've called him. And there's another guy named Whitsitt. I've never been on Whitsitt's channel, so I don't really know.
Yeah.
And Jaron gets quite a bit of flack. I personally don't have anything, any bone to pick with the guy, but I know this guy over here, Jake the Asshole. I don't know if you guys know this guy. He hates the guy. So he goes ahead and exposes.
What's up, y'all? It's that time again. We are live.
He says he's exposing Jaron as a shill.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I think Jake the Asshole believes there are many suns. I don't know if anyone's telling the truth, to be honest with you. I find this whole thing a big mess. And it really does make a mess of the NASA fakery because they've attached it to NASA fakery, like Simon says, and it makes anyone who questions NASA look kind of crazy.
Yeah, that does. And, you know, Jake the Asshole has his channel on YouTube and Jaronism.
That's true.
And Witsit has their channels on YouTube, and and they're not getting struck down. You know, they claim that they're being censored, but it's like, I don't see that. I see your channel's doing pretty good on YouTube. And so it's approved propaganda what they're pushing. And so,
and by the way, I don't have many people here tonight because my YouTube channel was struck because I talked about the vaccines for 30 seconds on my last show. I forgot to delete that video.
Oh,
so I'm struck again.
Yeah.
So, you're right. These people are on YouTube. They're spouting off. And that to me means they're authorized. So anything they say is not harmful to the mainstream narrative. So does that mean nothing they're saying matters? What do you think, Jim?
Well, let me give you, first of all, my view towards flat earth. Okay.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. It's not the flat earth that I'm concerned about. Uh-huh. It's actually the globe earth that I have more questions about too. And I just have a problem of them saying the earth is, what do they say? It's spinning around 24,000 miles per hour or something, or whatever hell it is. I forgot that number. And then
it's 1100 miles an hour at the equator.
Okay.
And I guess at the tips, it's not moving at all because that's the axis.
Okay. So yeah. I just have a problem with the spinning, the revolving, and the going through space, all that stuff. That it just doesn't make sense to me. But the flat earth, I really don't care. It doesn't matter. But this last experiment that was done kind of, I guess it made Dave, that's the name, right?
Okay, Dave Weiss.
So he basically here's what I don't understand about all this, in the North Pole.
Yeah.
How many months do they have of sunlight and daylight? I mean, darkness and sun. How does that work up there? It's 6 months of dark, 6 months of sun, or whatever months. I don't know. How much is it?
Well, in the winter, it's dark almost 24 hours. In the summer, it's light almost 24 hours. Yeah, that's how it's supposed to work. So it's the opposite in the South Pole. And then when the Earth spins around the other half of the year, the south end is pointed more at the sun. And it gets, well, according to Jaronism, it gets sun for 24 hours on December 21st.
Okay, but if he went 6 months later, would it be dark?
Yes, it'd be 24 hours of darkness.
Okay,
it'd be cold there too.
Okay, so that's what should happen. We only saw the 6 months of light. That's where they are now. But if you come back a couple months later, whatever hell it is, it's going to be dark there.
And extra cold. So I'm pretty sure nobody bothers to go check it in the dark. Plus you wouldn't really be able to see where the hell they are.
That's right. I know. That's why they did it.
It's dark and it's cold. Yeah. It only makes sense to go in the summer, if you ask me, which is what they've done. But summer
definitely. I would like to hear the flat earth is explain what happened there. That's all. I mean, you know, there's something wrong with their explanation if that's the case. And, you know, they kind of have mud on the face right now at that point. But there might be another explanation why this is happening. So I don't know.
Well, yeah, they complain that we're only getting two options, flat or round. What about all the in-between options? Which I guess is sort of. That's what Jake says. He says, well, what about my theory that there are different numbers of suns? So the south gets a different sun. I don't even know if the sun rises the same way on the South Pole. For some reason, I think that came up that it goes the other way. I'm not sure the way they don't think it's supposed to go. I'm just not sure. But
yeah,
I'll tell you one thing. Everyone argues forever on this topic because we really don't have any way to prove to each other one way.
Right.
That's the problem, isn't it?
Well, that's why I don't get into it. I mean, I will put information about it, but I can't take a stand on it because I don't know who's telling the truth either way. So it is what it is. But it does, you know, I'm telling you, I can't believe all the comments I get on anything I put up with Flat Earth or with Phil. So, I mean, what are you going to do, you know?
Yeah, so now we're combining the two on in one show tonight.
Yeah. So, we'll have to rename you Flat Earth Phil tonight. Would that be okay? Yeah,
that'll really set some people off. So,
yeah, you got to change your name, Phil.
So, I'm interested in the change of temperature between the northern hemisphere and the southern hemisphere. The Arctic North Pole is relatively warm. I think it averages like -4 degrees in its winter, but our Antarctica is like averages like 50 degrees colder than the North Pole, and they should be getting this because the Earth is tilting on its axis, so both poles should be getting the equal amount of sunlight. But the southern
I'm not sure about that. Yeah, I'd have to see the model again. Yeah. I think it's something to do with the way I'm not sure where the sun is compared to the north and the south. Is it right? I guess it's right in the middle, but something to do with the tilt doesn't work for the South Pole the same way. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, that's what they're telling us. But yeah, for me, I believe that there's an underworld, and I believe there's a world that we can't see. And I think that's what the whole 9/11 PSYOP was about. It represented the two worlds becoming one, because they replaced the Twin Towers with the One World Trade Center. And and
you think that has something to do with an underground world?
Yeah, because I think these people come from a different world. And that's why their agenda is different than the rest of humanity. That's why they're here to conquer this plane. And and that's why they hate humans, basically. And they're seeking to enslave us. And because they come from a different realm. And so here's where it becomes important, because if we can find out where they came from, then we can send them back. And so I think they came through a portal, frankly. And the Book of Enoch talks about the sun.
Portal or Portland?
Portal.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, here's what the Book of Enoch says, that the sun and the moon run their circuit and they go into a different portal at the end of their circuit. And nobody can understand what the Book of Enoch's talking about. But if you look,
I heard it's a bestseller this year. I hear the Book of Enoch all the time now.
Oh, okay. Wow.
What about you? Do you, Jim? Are you hearing a lot of
it this year? I was talking to a fellow yesterday. Actually, he's from Canada. Uh-oh. Tony. I think you talked to Tony at one time. He said he talked to you.
Tony Santinelli?
He's a Christian identity guy.
Yeah, I don't. I know there's a Tony that emailed me. I don't know if he's an identity guy, because that's not my topic. But
yeah,
he said I'm helping him with my fakeologist point of view. But I have nothing to do with Christian's identity. Right. That's for sure.
Right, right, right. Well, anyway,
barely know what that means.
Yeah. Well, he was talking about the Book of Enoch.
Okay.
And he was telling me I should, you know, read the Book of Enoch, and he feels the reason why the Catholic Church didn't include the Book of Enoch in the, because Enoch is mentioned in the Bible, okay? Mm-hmm. So he is mentioned in the Bible, okay? So he feels that the Catholic Church didn't want the Book of Enoch in the Bible, because it exposed like flat earth. I mean, it showed there was a flat earth or something, I don't know. And you know, some other things dealing with spiritual things or whatever that contradicted what the church was saying or something like that. So that's where we stand. I never really read the Book of Enoch. I might have read passages here or there, but I never really have gotten into it.
Okay. Now I'm just looking in the chat here. This is, I haven't really watched these videos. I've got lots of videos to watch, but Kate Emma is saying, it's supposed to be between -10 and -13. I guess that's Fahrenheit. But they're walking around as if it's a cold winter's day in southern France. No hats, no gloves, no sunglasses. And just a Gillette for McToon. I don't know what that means. But that's the other thing. Today, it was just above freezing here. And I could see my breath. And down here, these guys are walking around. It's supposed to be super cold because it is the South Pole. Uh-huh. And you couldn't see anyone's breath.
Yeah.
So now they're getting questioned, are they really there?
Right.
Are they really there today? Could yeah. this have been filmed at the North Pole maybe a few months ago? I mean, I just don't know. There's so many levels of deception now. Could these guys be in on it? And why is the cell phone service so good? I mean, come on. Well, that is a real puzzlement, because they started invoking Starlink, which they say is based on satellites. And I guess these guys think satellites are real because that's why they have internet service. But they can't explain where the satellites are. Are they rotating around the South Pole? I thought they were on the equator. So, I mean, how does all this stuff work? So they're tying in a lot of stuff that I think is fake. So how is this even working?
Yeah.
How are they live streaming from the what kind of, is it Verizon down there or T-Mobile? Who's down there? Seriously. Yeah. These are real. I think these are good questions.
Right.
How could you live stream from a place where, okay, I know there's a touristy base that everyone goes to, and they said that's Antarctica. And technically I think it is, but the vastness of Antarctica, they don't really get anywhere near the vastness. They're just on this little point, I think, which is just a tourist destination for those with money. So that way they can say, I've been to all seven continents.
Yeah, I've heard of people doing that.
Yeah. So it's a place you can go. It is technically Antarctica, but really, it doesn't really expose Antarctica for what it is or what they say it is. This big, huge, massive ice shelf that really surrounds the entire pizza plate, which is the flat earth that they say, and holds all the water in so it doesn't roll off the sides. I mean, this thing doesn't really solve anything in my mind. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it's very confusing. That's why I don't get into it. I'm not an expert on it, and I don't know enough about it, and I don't talk about it. I just put it up, and I enjoy the discussion in the comments more than the topic. I like to see how people try. You get two types of people, all right? You have people that completely, the people that don't believe in flat earth, and they insult the flat earth people, calling them stupid and flatheads, whatever. Okay. So that's what they do. And then you get the globe people. I mean, the flat earth people will come back with their remarks too. So it's just a big fight between these two people that can't prove anything. And I don't know what to say,
Why is it such a big fight? Do you guys care what the shape of the earth is?
No.
Should we care? Should we care?
No, I don't think I could care less. You know what I think it is? Here's the problem. And this is what I get with people that talk about it. They feel that it's a truth thing, that you have to tell the truth. And the flat earth is the truth. That's what they want you to believe. See? So it's not really, it's the topic flat earth, but you have to tell the truth in everything. But if that's the case, then why aren't the flat earthers, jumping on the Holocaust bandwagon? Or why aren't they, see what I'm saying? In other words, if you want the truth so much, 100%, everything's going to be 100% truth. Well, why aren't you 100% truth with the Holocaust topic or whatever other topic there is that's, 100% truth?
Yeah. Many, they just stay in one place.
Stay in their lane.
There
are some people, I don't think most people have an opinion on every single topic. I think people are very focused on their topics.
Right.
And I think if they go off topic, then they're worried that it'll wreck everyone's opinion of them on their main topic, especially if they're making money on it. I think a lot of these flat earthers make money off this topic.
Yeah, and they have to protect their brand. Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like saying I'm a Republican. Well, there goes all your Democratic supporters. Yeah. I just think you got to be careful. If you super subdivide yourself, you're going to have no one agreeing with you, because if you really pigeonhole yourself on every single topic, if someone will find one of them to disagree with, and then you'll lose them as a supporter, if that's what you want.
Yeah, I agree.
Is that how you feel, Phil?
Yeah. Well, I don't care who I piss off because I'm not making any money. I'm not
trying
to sell anything on my channel. I like all these. I like to broaden into a lot of different topics and to try to get the truth. I've come to my my idea of what I think about the Earth. In 2015, Leonardo DiCaprio visited the Vatican, and he gave the Pope a book called "The Garden of Earthly Delights." It's by Harmonious Bosch. I think it dates back to like the 1500s. And there's a photo of Leonardo DiCaprio and the Pope, you know, looking at this book, and they both look really happy, like they have this smirky grin on their face. But in that book, it shows a picture of the shape of the Earth. It shows there's two hemispheres, one at the top and one on the bottom. And so the one on the bottom hemisphere is the underworld, and the one on the top is the world that we can see. And so I think the Vatican is protecting this secret because they're the ones that have come into our realm from an open portal, and we need to find the portal. It's like when you look at the moon, you don't see craters. What you're seeing is portals that have been closed. If you look at the full moon, you're looking at a map. You're looking at a reflection of a map, and it's not of our realm. It's of a different realm. And one of the portals opened up, and they came up into the upper realm, and now they rule the world. And now we need to send them back. When Cain murdered Abel, God put a mark on Cain so that nobody would harm him, and then he exiled him into the land of Nod. So we're not giving we have not been given authority to hang anyone or to do corporal punishment on anyone. But we can exile them back to the land of Nod. But thing is, we need to figure out where the land of Nod is. See, there's other continents that they're hiding from us. And that's my opinion. That's what I get out of it.
By the way, this is the official story that will be promoted. And Jake the Asshole brings this up. He says, now this guy, Jaron, went there, found a 24-hour sun, and therefore, he says, surprise, the world is a globe. Settled, over, done with. And he admitted it on camera, and now that's it. The end of the story.
But it's not true, though. See, in other words, this had nothing to do with globe. So the globe people, I mean, the flat earth people still have a case. And this guy's case, again, just because of the 24-hour sun, that didn't mean it proved the globe. There's still a lot of problems with the globe, you know, theory and how that is explained. So I don't know why he even said that, what he said that, but whatever.
Well, that's what's being picked up by the mainstream media. So we're going to watch that. And Jake the Asshole says there's going to be a movie on it next. You watch in 6 months saying, sorry, we proved that the Earth is not flat. It's a ball because that's the only way you can have a 24-hour sun. So that's the narrative. And I guess Jake said he predicted that at least 6 months to even a few years ago. He said that that's what Jaron's role is to take this simple idea, twist it, and now no more talk, no more debate. But you guys don't agree with that.
Well, I mean, I don't think, you know, he could say that, but it didn't prove that there was a round earth either. Okay, so whatever, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of things we still don't know. And, you know, I'm not letting the globe earthers off the hook because during my lifespan, I've seen NASA just lie and lie and lie. Back in when I was a kid, we had a movie out called 2001 Space Odyssey. And in that movie, they predicted that space travel would be routine by the year 2001, that the average American citizen could afford a rocket ship ride and go up to a space station. And it would be about the same price as an airplane ticket. And then you could jump over to the moon base. And here we are 24 years after 2001, and we're nowhere close to that reality. And so that movie was a big lie, that 2001 Space Odyssey. And it was written by a guy named Arthur C. Clarke, who is a well-known, he was a respected person in the space field. He inspired the geosynchronous satellite, the satellite that stays positioned over one spot on the Earth.
He dreamed it up. That was his science fiction idea.
Yeah, but supposedly it became reality, and so he was not just a science fiction writer. He actually lended his credence into the field itself, and inspired improvements and inventions. And so, anyway, they need to give back all the ticket sales from that movie, and because most people went to see it because it was written by Arthur C. Clarke. And they thought it was a genuine thing that they could rely on. I was like, oh, wow, we're going to be going into space in 20 or 33 years. It was the movie was made in 1968, and 2001 was 33 years later. Of course, that was the hoax code, and nothing happened. We're nowhere close to that vision. And we never will be. I just tell people this. You will never go into space. Your grandchildren will never go into space. Nobody you ever know will ever go into space. The only people that go into space are movie stars and actors and NASA employees. And that's it.
Now, I want to make a comment about that picture of the flat Earth there. Okay. Now, as far as I could see with this picture, this is my, maybe I'm wrong, but I'm going to say what I believe. Okay. You have, okay, you see the perimeter.
It looks like there's ice wall.
Yeah. Apparently, that's Antarctica.
Right, that's right.
Okay, and now if you go to the North Pole, see, here's what's interesting. Antarctica is land. Okay, it's land. It's physical land. It's snow and ice on top of land. Now, if you go to the North Pole, it's just ice on water.
Right.
Okay, so there's two different situations here. So that's why the perimeter of the Antarctica is physical. It's land. You know what I mean? Which is kind of weird. But that's what they come up with in the map, whatever. I don't know. I mean, it is what it is. What can you say?
Yeah, well, it's the flying pizza disc, and that's the choice you're given, either that one or the ball. It's never anything in between, and I don't know why that we have to make a decision between the two. I know the model officially that works the best for explaining the stars in the sky, Simon will say this, is the ball, period. It's the only thing that makes sense from that point of view. But. Yeah. It's pretty interesting. Like, what do you guys think of the idea that the flat Earth controversy, which is really hard to prove one way or the other to the average person, maybe not to the smarter people, was meant to be attached to the NASA fakery, which was getting exposed more and more back in 2015. So they had to put a stop to it, and that's how they. Anytime you put the word NASA fakery, they put the word flat Earth in the title for all the YouTube videos. They do it on purpose to flood YouTube with the word flat Earth. And it was always attached to NASA fakery. And I think you sort of said that yourself tonight, Phil, that, NASA's faking it. And therefore, that's crazy because of the flat Earth topic. I never thought the two topics should be linked. So are they linked in your mind that?
Well, here's what I think. Here's what the real link is. Okay.
Yeah.
Because when people start talking about flat Earth, you notice they will either way they do this, they'll bring in the Holocaust. They'll really? Say, oh yeah. Yeah. I've heard people talk about the Holocaust and they'll say, oh, The people, Holocaust deniers are like flat earthers. You ever hear that? I've heard that several times.
I'm sure you would have heard it because you follow the Holocaust topic way closer, but I haven't. I know I've heard you.
Oh,
say
no, that. I've heard famous people that, you know, would again talking about Holocaust deniers. They would say Holocaust deniers are just like flat earthers. So there's the tie-in that I see. You know, there's two viewpoints: flat earth, Holocaust denier, and you know, these people are wackos. That's what I heard.
Right. We're round earth deniers, I guess. Yeah, you got to get the word deniers in somehow. But I guess you're a ball earth denier. Because that's the most negative thing they can really attach to is just put the word deny.
Yeah.
I'm a NASA
denier. You still don't go to jail for a flat earth denial or flat earth believer. Okay. So when they start putting us in jail, I mean, start put the flat earthers in jail for believing flat earth, then they have something to talk about. They don't have anything to talk about.
I wonder if they ever were put in jail. Because the flat earth topic's been around since the beginning of time. I think it was the accepted position. It was the accepted shape, if the earth had to have a shape, from the beginning of time, wasn't it? Isn't it biblical?
Well, I don't know. I can't say. I mean, the Bible does talk about, you know, things like circle of the earth and, you know, this or that. But I never paid much attention to it. It wasn't a big deal to me.
Well, it doesn't say it's a spinning ball, I don't think, in the Bible.
No.
Yeah, it's the language is very cryptic, and it says the earth is established, the earth shall not be moved. The throne is in the heavens, and the earth is the footstool or something like that.
Right.
And so the language that the Bible uses about the earth is very ambiguous. I can't figure it out if it's talking about a flat earth, but it's not also talking about a spinny ball either. The people go to that one passage where it says, and he hangs the earth upon nothing. And they say that proves that the earth is a ball because if you look at the earth from outer space, it looks like it's hanging on nothing. But I don't think that passage can mean it's very broad.
It's ambiguous.
It's ambiguous.
You can interpret it anyways. Yeah.
So it's not settled. It's not settled. And then if you read the book of Enoch, you know, he goes into a wild cosmology that is a way different than globe earth or flat earth. He talks about the stars and the portals and how the earth and the moon or the sun and the moon are discs and they're the same size. And that is another very odd thing. And that is that when we have a total eclipse that the earth and the moon or the sun and the moon are the same exact size. It's a 1 in a million chance that could happen. If weird. So there's something very strange about that. And so it's, you know,
it's yeah, by the way, Kate Emma says Antarctica, where they do end up going, is only movie stars, actors, government agents. I think rich people can go there too. And now some random YouTubers who get to go. And there's no actual 24-hour live stream. So maybe that's part of the problem. So even when Jaronism went, he did not leave his stream open for 24 hours to observe the sun. But maybe maybe that leaves it still unsettled for most people. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. But anyway, this is Simon Schack's Clues Forum. And this is the top topic here is NASA's Flat Earth DBA Discredit by Association strategy. So this has a million different replies. Everyone should take a look at this because I think this is the most likely thing that's happening. And this started as I wrote down here, or as he wrote in 2015, that they've literally launched a campaign to attach it to the NASA fakery exposition that was really gaining some steam almost 10 years ago. And now it seems to, it sort of did derail all those that were discrediting NASA because NASA's still going. They're still taking lots of money. And their critics are pretty quiet. They always get derailed with the flat earth association, and now we got Jaronism. We're not talking about NASA fakery anymore or ISS fakery when we're talking about the flat Earth and the 24-hour sun in Antarctica. So I think it is working. It's insidious, but I think it's there. So
one thing I could say is when I take my flight to Dallas, like mm-hmm. twice a year, I'm flying from Palm Springs to Dallas and it's through the Southwest. And a lot of times I get a clear blue sky and you can see for a long ways.
Yeah.
And the horizon, when we're at 35,000 feet, the mm-hmm. horizon is always like 3/4 or 7/8 of the way up my window. And then when we land in Dallas, the horizon is still 7/8 up my window. Okay. And so no matter how high you go, the horizon stays the same. And that is very compelling, is because if it was a ball, you'd have to, the higher you go, you'd have to look down for the horizon. Mm-hmm. And that shows that the horizon is staying flat.
So you say it's as flat because most people that go on a plane say they see the curve.
Yeah.
You're saying no, you, in your opinion, it's mostly flat because of the way.
I say when you're standing in the tube, you look out the both sides of the windows on both sides of the plane, and that looks flat. And also look to the fact that the horizon never drops. The horizon stays the same place on your window. And that's impossible. On a ball, the horizon should be going down as you get higher. And you know, it's a big tell. And so you know, it looks flat to me. And also, I also believe that water cannot bend. Water has to stay level. And so, you know, it's a big problem. But I think, like I said, it might be the key to the whole deal. It might be the, I've seen a lecture by a guy named Michael Lightman from Israel. And he was talking about how the Jews come from a different world and that they've been sent to this world to conquer it. And the people in his audience were looking confused. And he said, you don't believe me. And then he went into about this other, he's a Kabbalist, but he's allowed to speak to students in Israel and to give lectures. And that's what he's saying. He's saying the Jews come from a different world. And, you know, and so that's, and it would make sense because they do have an anti-human agenda. They do have they do want to cause as much havoc among human beings as possible.
Well, the Christian identity, they believe that Eve had sex with the devil, mm-hmm. and the Jews and blacks, okay, mm-hmm. You know, are the offspring of Satan. So mm-hmm. that's what they believe. So we could tie that into what you just said, you know, being from another world or whatever, but mm-hmm. that's what they believe.
Yeah. And so I believe in the Garden of Eden, we had four rivers. You had the Tigris and the Euphrates. So those are the two rivers we can see. But then we had two rivers that we can't see, is the Pishon and the Gihon. And those rivers went into the underworld. They went around a land called Havilah. And the land of Havilah is a land of gold, and the gold of that land is good. And nobody knows where the land of Havilah is. Well, who would be interested in a land of gold? Well, that would be the Jews, obviously. And so, you know, that could be where the land of Nod is, inside the land of Havilah. So, and it would be a good place for these people that fake their deaths. We should also, when talking about the shape of the earth, we also need to include the death fakers. We have people in Hollywood who are faking their deaths all the time, and politicians who are faking their deaths. And sometimes, you know, they just can't blend back into society. Like Kobe Bryant, he can't put on a wig and go walk on the beach in Thailand. You know, he's like 7 feet tall and everybody knows what he looks like. Mm-hmm. So where did Kobe Bryant go after he faked? Because that helicopter crash was the fakest thing most of us have ever seen. And so, but Kobe Bryant has not resurfaced as a...
Well, he could hang around Amsterdam because those are the tallest people in the world statistically. Okay.
Well, you know... Average,
so there's that.
But
by the way...
Yeah.
I think Kate Emma was saying that Jaron and company, everyone goes to this location. It's called the Union Glacier.
Uh-huh.
So that's why it's 4 hours. So they fly from right here, the tip of South America, and straight south to this Union Glacier right here. So that's one thing for sure, the Google Maps makes it hard to, I can't zoom out anymore. This is the maximum zoom out. And if you just keep scrolling left to right, you can go up and see, okay, New Zealand lines up with the McMurdo station down here. And then you can just troll along, and South Africa lines up with pretty much nothing. And then you got South America that lines up with this Union Glacier, and that's it. So I don't know.
That's kind of weird.
It's not really, when you have these flat maps, because this is a flat map, not of the flat earth, but it's just what happens when you have to unravel the ball. This is what you get. It just makes it really hard to visualize. But man, what a landmass this is. And the other thing is that people bring up is, why can't, if it's a ball, why can't they fly south from here and from Union Glacier and then pop up over here on, you know, the Australia side? Why is it not possible to fly over the South Pole?
Yeah, the flight routes over Antarctica are very interesting. And people say, well, it's just too cold for an airplane to go over Antarctica. I was like, well, so they go over the North Pole all the time. And so, you know, what are you talking about? There's no place to land if they have an emergency. Well, there's no place to land when they go over the North Pole either. It's like,
and there aren't too many places to land if they're flying over this vast South Pacific Ocean. It's a pretty, I know there are some little islands, but man, what are the chances that you're going to be near one of these islands when you're going from Australia to, say, Chile, South America? There ain't a hell of a lot there, is there, really? And look how much space that is. That
could be the reason why they had to destroy the Hindenburg. They had to destroy the airship industry, because it would have been more affordable. People would be able to charter an airship and just fly wherever they want, you know, off the beaten track, off the approved flight routes. They don't want us to fly off the approved flight routes. And that's why they had to destroy the airship industry. And so that's something suspicious also.
Yes, sir. Very suspicious. I think we'll never get to the bottom of it. And it just keeps dividing people, that's for sure. I think they know that nobody can really make a compelling argument to convince the other side. I know the people that know what they're talking about, they probably think they're making a compelling argument, but I don't think it can convince most people one way or t'other. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it's...
It's a tough one. Well, you know, Jaron tried, and this topic will just go on and on and on and on. It'll never end. And we'll just keep debating it endlessly. And I guess that's why people get tired of talking about it. But Jake the Asshole, I put a show note to his 4 or 3.5 hour expose today, if you want to watch that.
So what's his deal? What's he say?
Well, he thinks Jaron's a shill. He thinks all these guys that went are paid operatives. Yeah. He said they were meant to drag you down the flat earth path and then drop you off back at the ball earth at the end. Does that mean their assignment or mission is over? Maybe. Yeah. But Jake, he doesn't, maybe he spends more time in this video, but he thinks that there are many suns. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, that I haven't heard too many people talk about that. I don't know. Have you guys? You guys know people?
I never heard anybody say that.
Yeah. He thinks there's local suns. A sun for the south, a sun for the north. I don't know. That one's a tough one. That's a tough sell for me.
Yeah, me too.
That'll just send me back to the globe. I can tell you right now. if those are the decisions, I'm going to have to end up back at the globe again.
Yeah, I guess.
And I guess that's kind of that's the point, really. I mean, the flat earth is compelling because engineers and people that design things, long distant train tracks, they don't account for a curve. They don't account for any kind of drop off. based on, I think, 8 miles per something squared, whatever it is. So they don't account for that. But then again, we have the stars, we have the sun, and now we have the South Pole that's supposed to have a 24-hour sun on the winter solstice. So the flat Earth doesn't work for that either.
Yeah. Well, this guy Tony that lives up in Toronto, he did explain it to me yesterday, which was, I mean, it was, you know, he explained it, but he was saying something about Capricorn. You got Tropic of Capricorn, and then you got the Tropic of Cancer.
Right.
And he said the sun ends up being in those two places, and that makes it for the sun being 6 months in the north and 6 months in the south, you know, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, well, yeah, it the sun rotates on each tropic in the summer, on the summer solstice and the winter solstice. And then in between on the equinoxes, it's over the equator. That's the official story. Everyone was taught that. So it makes sense for the most part. And then there's the stars. No one ever talks about the stars. Simon talks about the stars. That's his whole thing that he does, the Tychos model. So he doesn't really get in or start debating or arguing about it with any of the topics that these guys bring up. He just talks about the stars, and he just says the only way the stars work is if it's a ball. Anyway, I'm no smarter than I was 10 years ago, I'm sorry to say, on this topic. And I think that's why that it's so divisive, and people get mad at whenever anyone of us brings it up, because they know we just can't really settle it. We're not going to convince anybody, and we're just going to be arguing to the end of time on it. Well, they steal all our money.
Yeah. The NASA thing is a big part of the military industrial complex. They're enslaving us with these huge military contracts, and NASA's one of them. And we get nothing in return for all the billions of dollars we give them. It's like we get nothing in return for all the billions of dollars we give to Israel or Ukraine. It's all going through the decades. It's just been trillions of dollars that they've been squeezing out of us. That's why our cost of living is so expensive. Kids can't afford an apartment when they get out of college. They can go get a degree, and they still have to get a room, have to get like four roommates in order to get an apartment. Yeah.
I know all about that. I'm subsidizing many people on that front, so I get it. But it's very complicated, the economic system, but I don't want to go down that rabbit hole because we'll be here forever. Okay. Then we'll end up talking about the stock market dropping 1,000 points right after I stop watching it this afternoon. It's kind of funny.
Is that what happened today?
Yeah, I was watching it till about 2:30 because someone was yapping about how something is going to happen, first time since Jimmy Carter. And then I hear on the news tonight, it went down 1,000 points. Well, I actually, it was flat when I stopped watching an hour before close. And next thing I know, it tanked. But it'll be up 600 points tomorrow probably, so I wouldn't worry about it too much. Gold Surfer says, I think the sun is rendered to the individual. See, I don't really understand what that means. Rendered, as in given to just me. And Wild Times in the chat also agrees that the sun is rendered to the individual. There you go. Try and figure that one out, guys.
Well, as a kid, I used to think that the moon was following me.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Well, maybe, I know Jim likes to dig into topics. Maybe he's going to be able to find someone talking about the individually rendered sun. That's a tough sell for me.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. Jim, what's that? Yeah.
Well, what does that mean? Rendered? What is, I don't know.
It just means that somebody above is making a customized sun just for you, wherever the hell you are.
Okay.
I just don't get that. I'm going to need a lot more explanation than that.
Yeah.
All right. Why don't we just quickly take a look at Jim's channel, let him pick a topic. You were talking a lot about Germar this week. Is he in jail? Is he not? What's going on?
Yeah, I don't know where Germar is. I don't know what happened to him.
Yeah.
I spoke to him, you know, last week or whatever.
Yeah.
And I've called him since. I haven't got him, but he's somewhere. I don't know where, but he's somewhere, and not much I can do about it because I don't know where. Because I'd try to call him, at least, you know, you would think he would have someone that knows about what's going on with him, but I don't know who is the front man for Germa. So what are you going to do, you know?
You still trust him?
Trust Germa?
Yeah, and his message, or you think he's...
Well, I like Germa. I don't agree with Germa on some things. I don't think he has the right attitude towards Hitler, and I don't think he has the right attitude towards the Jews. You know, he thinks they're victims, and they should not have been put in the camps, and Hitler shouldn't have rounded them up because, that was a civil rights violation, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I think he's just saying, I don't know, maybe he believes it, but you know, he's to me, that's going to be a problem for him because either way he's sunk. They're going to come after him. They want to put him away or get him out of the country. So, and if he goes to Germany, if they ship him to Germany, he's going to jail. So
he'll be done.
That's right. So I don't understand, you know, why he's compromised on that, because there's, look at, you gotta understand, it's either Hitler was a good guy or bad guy.
Yeah.
Okay. And I believe he was a good guy. He probably had a lot of faults, and, you know, but he had, you know, people under him. A lot of these people under him weren't good people. They're treasonous people. And I don't think Hitler was the one that was wrong. I think he got a lot of, people that was advising him wrongly, and they wanted to take him down, especially at the end of the war. And, you know, but I think Hitler was a good guy, you know?
Yeah. You think that David Irving was, they got to him.
Yeah.
So wouldn't it be logical they do the same with Germar? Cause he's sort of the leading guy right now. That's alive.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Germar, you know, he's cause one of the guys asked him in the interview, would you ever compromise on your thoughts or whatever? He goes, no, yeah. I stand by whatever I say. So I don't think he would. No.
Okay. Are you following the story at all, Phil?
Of the Germar? Well, yeah. I didn't realize that he was saying that about Hitler. And so I guess he's in hiding. I guess he's afraid of getting arrested.
No, he got arrested. They say he got arrested.
Oh,
so I don't know where he ended up. I mean, what could they arrest him on? I don't know what you, I mean, the guy, he just went through a divorce and then he moved to Texas, and then he moved from Texas to New York. So he's kind of close to you guys. He's up in the Finger Lakes region.
Yeah.
I mean, you, Tim. And, then he gets arrested. So what did they arrest him on? I heard something that said he was a fugitive from justice. Well, he's legally in the United States. He hasn't done anything wrong. And, any problem that he had in the past, it's been resolved through the courts. So I think, this is my opinion, I think what they did with Germa, they seen Germa, he's been doing a lot of interviews lately. And I think someone saw him and they said, we got to get this guy. And what we're going to do is we're going to just call the cops and say he's a fugitive from justice. Now, remember, cops don't know anything about him. Okay. But they know he's a German and they know that he's a Holocaust denier. And so they will come, you know, just on a whim. If someone accuses you of beating your wife, well, they'll come to your house and they'll arrest you. Unless your wife says you didn't do it. Okay. So you can accuse anybody of anything and the cops will have to come investigate it, but they arrest you first and then they investigate it later. And that's what I think they did with Germa. They figured, he had some problems in the past, so we're going to arrest him and then we'll kind of sort it out later. which I don't think is right, but that's my opinion. It might not even have happened that way, but that's the only thing I can say they could have done. I don't know how they could have. There was nothing on him that he was doing wrong.
Well, we need to see a charge. Where did you actually see evidence that he was charged? Where did you see that?
Well, there was a website or something someone sent out that talked about people being arrested, and there was a picture of him, and it had some. It didn't have much information about it, but it had some, and that was it. It was just said he was arrested on a fugitive charge, and I'm saying, what the hell was that?
My default position on all these stories, there's always an op going on. It's always some kind of op. So
yeah,
I don't think any of these guys are immune to the operations. Personally, they could be long term ops. I'm not saying he is, but I think your spidey sense always has to have that in your mind that you're witnessing an op.
I don't know.
It could be a long op. Starting off really slowly and then stretching out over time. I'm not saying that Jaronism is an op. I'm not making any accusations, but I think you always have to have that possibility. They're in it for the long run.
Yeah. Well, they got the Zundel, you know. You know what happened with Zundel?
Of course, yes. I mean, that's they got him on technicalities, though. It's kind of like it just like they couldn't get Al Capone if he was a real character, except on tax evasion. I mean, come on. They didn't get him on any of the main things he did. They get him on technicalities.
Right. But or see the thing,
or they wear you down with lawfare.
Well, I don't know if you know this about Zundel, but his wife was, I think a problem. And here's what happened with Zundel. Okay. She thought she was going to get him back in the United States. Okay. But she didn't realize if you go to jail for 5 years in Germany, okay, you can't come to the United States if you have over a 4-year sentence or whatever it is. So he got a 5-year sentence. So there was no way in hell he was getting back in the United States. And so he ended up going to Mexico. That's where he used to go meet his wife, Ingrid, and so he was in Mexico. And when he was in Mexico, he gave his last talk.
He said
he was getting out of the Holocaust business, that he was not going to be pursuing, you know, anything more about the Holocaust. And she wanted to get into making movies. That's what she wanted to do. And she took a lot of the revisionist money. And she bought a place in Tennessee and bought property and houses and all this and that. And then she died. And then her son ended up getting everything. And the revisionist people got nothing. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to say, what happened there. But
you got to give Zundel credit, man. He gave so many of his best years to fighting for freedom of speech.
Yep.
And eventually everyone wears out. We only have one life. Our health always inevitably starts to fail as we get older. There's nothing you can do about that, as you know, Jim. And he gave more than the average person could have been reasonably expected to give. And so, I guess he just got to a point where the returns on the efforts were going down rapidly, and he just wanted to probably live out the rest of his life in peace, you know, just concentrate on staying alive. So I can understand it. And I have posted his last speech on FakoTube a long time ago, because it really was sort of it was his last speech.
Yeah.
And it was very powerful, actually.
Yeah.
And that's what, because I was wondering if at one point when I first looked into Zundel, if he was an op. Yeah. If he was there just to make people looking into it as an example that this is what's going to happen to you. But towards the end of his speech, it seems like he was sincere. I don't think he was an op. I don't think he was controlled, because you know, it was quite a heartfelt speech. You could just tell that he tried his best. He wanted to defend the German people, their name. He was tired of them being dragged through the mud. And it seemed quite sincere to me. And that really was his goal. He didn't care about Jews, really. He didn't really care about the official story. He just didn't like Germans being trashed.
Right.
A whole nation, really.
Yeah, you're right.
That's a lot of people. They were talking about over, you know, hundreds, maybe over 100 million people worldwide, including in Germany.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there are very few people that spoke with clarity like he did. And that's why he had a pretty decent, mainly German following.
Yeah.
So I get it. I can see why he wore out at the end. He was in his 70s. And then even though he was in jail for a long time, I think even that, even though he probably had pretty good spirits and got a lot of support, it does wear you out when you are locked in a cage.
Yeah.
Not good for the brain. That's why I like talking to his videographer.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's the closest guy really to still be alive today that has any chance of giving the true picture of what Zundel was like.
Right.
I would say.
Yeah.
So just insightful. Yeah. He's sort of an unhero because he's not promoted in any way by this country or any country. He's going to go down into the history books as just some guy who wore a hard hat and made whatever publicity he could over a case that nobody even knows what it's about.
Right.
I don't even hear people today talk about him that really have what the court cases were all about down pat and how he got squeezed out of here. He really got squeezed out of here on a technicality.
Yeah.
And it almost seemed like they knew that they needed the idea that they could not give him Canadian citizenship because they figured down the road, this guy is going to cut. We need one thing that we can get rid of him over. And that ultimately that's what it was.
Yeah.
Don't give him Canadian citizenship. Then we can kick him out of the country.
Yeah. That same thing might happen with Girma.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it almost seems like, because I don't think Ernst really cared about citizenship. It wasn't a big deal when he came here in the late 50s, early 60s. There were lots of landed immigrants. Even my own mother was a landed immigrant in Canada for 30 years. But she just wanted to vote. So she got her citizenship just so she could vote. But most people that came here, it wasn't a big deal until... Wow. It was too late until he opened up his mouth. Then they identified him and they say, no way we're giving this guy a citizenship. Because I think he tried twice to get it. But they knew who he was at that point. And they knew he was dangerous politically.
Yeah.
So that was the end of him. So somebody should write a book on that before everyone's memories have faded. A true story.
Yeah. Well, I know Michael Hoffman covered his Zundel trial.
Yeah.
But he wrote all about that, but I don't think anybody has written about, Zundel himself. That would be a good idea. Yeah.
Before everyone forgets, because, once all the witnesses are dead, it'll go down the memory hole.
Yeah,
somebody should put pen to paper and put it in print and get it out there because really it is quite a remarkable story. There aren't people like that today alive, I don't think anymore, really.
Right.
Maybe Germar's sort of close, but overall, I just don't think.
Well, Germar's the main guy right now, you know.
Yeah.
There's nobody more... tuned into things than Germar because he runs the Kodo site. He runs GermarRudolph.com, that site. He runs the HolocaustHandbooks.com. He's got a lot of stuff that he's spinning right now. So yeah. I can see why they want to take him down because if they take him down, there's a lot that goes, the whole revisionist movement of written material goes down unless he's got people put in place that will take his place to keep it running. So I don't know.
Yeah, you need a line of succession, really.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the bottom line. You always have to have another generation ready to go. Otherwise, it'll be very hard to revive.
Yeah.
All right. What do you got, Phil? Anything you're working on this week?
Well, let's see. So we had a school shooting. I picked up a couple crisis actors from there. And, Khalid Nabhan died yesterday.
Who's that?
Well, he was the grandfather that kissed the eyeball of his granddaughter.
But his the rubber baby. What happened to him?
So he was martyred by an Israeli missile, just like his granddaughter Reem, as you can see there, Reem, an obvious rubber baby. And that's why Khalid is smiling right here, is because he's holding a doll. And
so that's he got a custom missile?
Yeah.
Is that one of those one of those Acme missiles that just comes to your door, knocks on it, and you open the door and it blows up like that?
Yeah, like the same as Reem, because you can't see anything wrong with his body. There's no arms or legs missing. Just like with Reem, she had no arms or legs missing on her rubberless corpse there, and rubber full.
Yeah, he's having a good time with her. Yeah.
So Khalid became a celebrity, and so he's been getting some remembrance from people from around the world. And so I posted a few videos of people that are really sad that he got killed. Mm-hmm. And so these are the people that think these rubber babies are real babies. And it's like, well, how can you go on camera and show your face when everybody else who watches this video knows that it's fake as heck? I mean, but I hand it to them. They're brave to come on video and show their face, but.
Unless he's wearing a whole get up and a whole outfit.
Well, they're both still alive. Reem's still alive and Khalid is still alive. They both faked their deaths. And so I bring good news, but everybody gets mad at me.
Good news, but who cares, right?
and
this school shooting, Lynn and I talked about it yesterday.
Uh-huh.
It's just another integrated capstone event where, of course, there was a drill going on that same day or the day before.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, it went live. All of a sudden, a crazy 15-year-old girl, not a trans, I mean, they made a point of that.
Okay.
Goes nuts and shoots, I think, even a visiting teacher. Wasn't even the regular teacher.
Yeah.
How convenient.
Yeah.
So, and we got more swooping delight, more smiling, happy people with grins on their faces, you know.
Yeah, these kids don't know how to act, and so this kid's smiling the entire time. He narrowly escaped with his life, but he's smiling during the whole time. And the mother comes in and says it wasn't a drill. It wasn't a drill. So, and then
just in case you had that crazy idea that they do drills and make people laugh. And yeah, I guess these and Lynn gets really bent out of shape over these so-called, this is a religious school where they're supposed to really emphasize religious values.
Yes.
As in the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
And they're violating it for money.
Yeah.
Apparently.
It is offensive. Yeah. Religion is dead. Mm-hmm. All religions have been corrupted. And yeah.
Well, yeah, that's the main thing they should be focusing on, telling the truth, getting a good, uncorrupted, moral education, and yet they are participating in these events that we think that they're not giving us any evidence to show they're real.
Well, nobody knows anybody who's ever been hurt in one of these events. I mean, I've lived my whole life. I've been seeing these events in the news my entire life, but yet I don't know anyone who's been hurt in any of these events, and neither does anybody I know. One guy I worked with said he knew somebody who died at Columbine, and I said, "Oh, really? What hospital did you go to?" And I started asking, and he just ran away from me. He was a we were on a show site, and he just stayed away from me for the rest of the show. And he didn't want to answer any of my questions. So obviously he had heard about it from a friend of a friend. He didn't know anybody about this person. He just wanted to be part of the story. I want to be part of the Columbine story. So I'm going to, most of the time he would say that and nobody would ever challenge him. But I was the first one who ever challenged him, and he just ran away from me. I mean, I didn't challenge him. I just was asking questions. I mean, he didn't, your friend didn't get declared dead at the school. They must have taken him to the hospital and declared him dead there. He didn't want to answer any of those questions.
So, yeah, we can't have real questions. That's why.
Yeah. So
don't say anything that could blow the whole story, because these guys are getting paid. So
I have one of my coworkers said they knew somebody in Las Vegas who, whenever he talked to him, he'd show him his scar on his arm from the shooting at the Las Vegas. And I said, I've got scars on my legs too. And I could claim that I'm from the Boston bombing. A scar on your body does not prove that you were at a shooting. You know, it's and you send him over to me and let me ask him some questions and
give him the fake nukes fill treatment.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, we've been going just about an hour and a quarter. I think that's a pretty good show. I think we talked about some interesting topics, as Jim likes to say on his walk and talk. Make sure you watch Jim's walk and talks, because he goes through all his different videos on his channel. They're not just Holocaust stuff. He does talk about quite a few things, including the flat earth topic. So it's pretty interesting, and he does the show every day. So you get the weather up to date every day as well. So it's a pretty interesting show. So make sure you check it out. And of course, Fake Nukes Phil has his broadcast where he talks about Gaz every day. So check that out. And Phil has a regular show on Sundays with that was a pretty good. I we didn't touch on the Cerucci thing. I didn't get maybe we should get a quick few seconds on that. I know Jim talked about it on his walk and talk, but do you have any week later opinions on how that went?
Well, I feel that he doesn't really understand the whole picture. You know, he's looking at every, see, his whole thing is Jesuits, Jesuits, Jesuits. Okay. So the Jews aren't anywhere. The Jews aren't doing anything wrong. They never did anything.
The managers, yeah.
You know, so I just think that he seems like he's trying to take, he's like an apologist for the Jews. I don't understand it. And I mean, he made a lot of good points about the Jesuits. I don't say he's wrong. I mean, but the thing is, we're not dealing with Jesuits today. We're dealing with Jews, and the Jews are the ones that are out in the front lines.
Taking the flak.
What's that?
They take the flak.
Right. I know that's what he's saying. So, yeah. Again, I can't say that he's wrong, because I haven't gone that deep into it to find out where the Jesuits are really doing this. So I'm not saying he's wrong. He could be 100% right. You know, but
well, whatever. At least you were exposed to him, because I don't think you had heard of him before.
No, I never heard of him, no.
Well, I disagreed with him on some points. He thought that people died during the October 7th invasion in Israel.
Well, no one said he was a fakeologist either. You see, that's okay. The thing. I think all the people that we have in our community, which is a very small community, we have overlaps. That's the only thing you can really say. We overlap on a lot of topics. There's no way we align perfectly on all topics. So,
yeah,
you don't agree with me on certain things. I don't agree with Jim. He doesn't agree with you. And Cerucci, I just wanted to bring a lot of overlap, because there's a lot of overlap where he's sort of the Jim of the Jesuits. That's all he talks about. But he does get into other topics.
Well,
but
led him down the wrong road. He's got the wrong take on a lot of things. He thinks JFK died in Dealey Plaza. So
yeah, he's not a fakeologist. That's the thing. Yeah, so, I disagree on all of that too. So I didn't really want to argue with him on it, because I just want him to present his stuff. But yeah, that's where you and I agree. Yeah. He calls it Jesuit theater though, but he thinks it's real.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the thing. That's why if you want the fakeologist point of view, you got to just listen to me on what I think. So I'll take the best of Jim, the best of Johnny, the best of Phil, and put it in what I think. But everyone here that listens can make their own conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think that's the best thing, and see where you land. But yeah, he's not a fakeologist in a lot of ways. I didn't even want to get into it with 9/11 because he thinks probably
people died on 9/11. It's like, yeah. So he's missing the point because he's focusing on the wrong topic. So does he have
a BitChute channel?
He's got Odyssey. He's got BitChute. Just look at, he's got his own website. Yeah. He's got a pretty good, presence everywhere. So yeah,
I don't see any of his information on BitChute come up, you know.
He's definitely on there. I prefer Odyssey. Like I know you put your stuff on Odyssey because it comes onto my phone automatically. So I highly recommend you go to his Odyssey channel because he does. His show is called Resistance Rising.
Okay.
And he seems to be. I don't know every single detail about his view on the COVID vaccine thing, but I have a feeling we have a lot of overlap on that topic, for instance.
Okay.
So that's the thing. There's no perfect link. There's no perfect overlap for any of us, but I thought he has enough overlap. Plus this whole Jesuit angle that hardly anyone talks about. So why is that? It's either that he's totally wrong or it's totally suppressed. Or it's totally not known. Right. So you could take your pick. But as far as media, where is this here? So this is, so it's mainly Odyssey. So you can get it on Odyssey, but he does have a BitChute channel. You just type in Johnny Cerucci. So,
okay. Yeah.
I like the guy's passion. He's sort of
he's
said.
He's definitely passionate. Yeah.
He's kind of the Lynn. And him and Lynn were supposed to be on Sunday, but Lynn was not feeling well. So maybe we'll have a reprise, but those two are very similar. So I thought that was fun that get those two in the same room and see who walks out alive.
Well, they both agreed that Hitler was a bad guy.
Yeah.
Well, let's see, they have something in common.
Well, no, I'm just saying that to me, that's very interesting because to me, people that believe that, I have a problem with them. Okay, I have a big problem with them because they have a hate for Hitler, but he doesn't admit that he did good, and that's what I don't understand. It's like you can't even admit he did good. He did some. Oh no, he was a tool. He was he said he was the worst thing that happened to Germany. No, he wasn't. He was the best thing that happened to Germany. Germany didn't fall and get destroyed because of him. Hitler was trying to revive Germany, keep it going. And so when a guy makes a statement that, you know, Hitler was the worst thing that happened to Germany, it's like, what are you, out of your mind? I mean, that to me, that doesn't make any sense. How can he
explain World War One? Hitler had nothing to do with World War One.
Yeah.
And so, you know, totally disregarding the fact that the world tried to kill Germany in 1914. And then they failed to kill Germany, so they went back a second time to finish a job. That's what happened.
Yeah. Well,
if I had to guess, it's kind of like he's just applying the view on leaders today. Do you think Trump is really out there to help the average person to make America great again? So if you want to reverse engineer leaders, where they came from, how they get there. Do they come organically or are they given to us? Are they approved by the ruling classes that own everything? So where does Trump come from? You could just go all the way back down, all the way to Hitler. I think that's what I think that may be how he looks at leaders. And I tend to agree with him as a rule because when did leaders suddenly start working for the people? I'm going to say never.
Well, yeah, I mean, there is a good, you know, I can't say for sure that Hitler was not perhaps an agent, but he was the best agent of it because he never broke character. I mean, everybody that knew him knew that he was said that he was very normal.
Yeah,
he didn't have sex parties. He was a teetotaler.
Yeah, and Trump is the same way. Look at Trump. Trump doesn't drink. Mm-hmm. He takes on, you know, a lot of women that look like men. So he seems to be part of the club. Let's be honest. But he seems like he's constantly saying I'm for America, but is he really for America? I know he's different from Hitler, but I'm just trying to make an assumption that these leaders don't work for the people. Yeah, they come across like that. Now, I'm not saying Hitler was like that because I wasn't there, and it's pretty far in the past. But I'm just applying it to people like Trump, Biden. How far back do you want to go before we have to say these leaders never work for us, or they work for the owners, basically? So,
well, I think Hitler worked for the people. I mean, if you really get into what he did and what he was doing, every single thing that he was doing was for the people. So you have to show me now where he wasn't doing this. Okay. I mean, that's all. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, there might have been problems with Hitler or whatever, but everything I've seen that he did, the way he lived his life, the way he treated people, the way he just lived, was completely different than any other politician I've ever seen in the world. I mean, there's nobody that has ever come like him. I mean,
well, if what you say is true, then the ruling elite can never let someone like that surface again. And that's why they made him the demon of all demons.
That's right.
There's logic there for sure. So we can never know what exactly he was doing for the people, because they don't want that to happen again.
Right. But think of this. Anyway. Okay. But think of this. All right. You look at, because I'm putting up some videos of Hitler now and all this and that. But when you look at the crowds that came to Hitler, his speeches, and you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people, I have never seen that happen with anybody else. That the way they came out for Hitler and supported him. There's been nobody that I've ever seen that the people came out like that in droves. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people, probably even close to a million, you know, in some places. Mm-hmm. You never see that today. You know what I mean?
Well, so, you see, the closest you saw was with the Trump rallies. And don't forget, he was doing that all
the Trump rallies was nothing. What do you got, 30, 40,000 people at a Trump rally?
I know, but people don't have to go to a rally now. They can watch on their phone at home. I'm not getting off the couch.
Well, that's true.
It's 100 years difference, but that's why I think people compare Trump to Hitler, because this guy was rallying when he was not even president. He just kept going. And like the Energizer Bunny, he just kept going and going. So, yeah, well, it's hard to tell. I know you're a big fan of Hitler, and a lot of people are a big fan of Trump. And let's just see what happens. But I'm very suspicious of all these leaders. They can't work for the people, because then there wouldn't be poor people if they distributed the money and the resources evenly.
Well, you got to look at it this way, okay? I'm going to get into a Bible point. The Israelites were run by God, okay, in the beginning. In other words, he was their leader, okay? But they didn't like it. They wanted to have a physical king to rule over them. And then God said to them, well, look at, if I appoint a king to rule over you, he wants this and that. This is going to happen to you. That's going to happen to you. He gave him the whole spiel, what was going to happen. So they get Saul. Saul is appointed king, and the shit hit the fan after that. Okay. The whole nation of Israel from that day on went down the tubes. And that was the end of that.
They got their king and they paid for it, right?
That's right. So I agree with you by saying any man king on the earth is not a representation of God. So there's going to be problems with them, because they're never gonna add up and do what God would do with somebody. You know what I mean? And so there you go. I mean, the Bible says man running the show is gonna ruin it, and he has.
It's gonna end badly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we better end this show before we could go on and on. But Jim has to get some rest so he can get up and do his show tomorrow and feel the same way. Thanks, guys, for joining. We're probably going to take a couple weeks off for Christmas and break and catch up. But if something urgent comes up, maybe I'll send you guys an email and we can discuss it if necessary. But otherwise, I think we're going to reconvene in the new year, 2025.
All right.
Well, so we'll hopefully you guys have a great Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. You too.
A great rest. And I wish everyone here all the best in their health and everything they endeavor in 2025. Another good year, hopefully, for everybody.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. We'll all right. Again.
Take care. Thanks for all both your support. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Don't forget. Fakeologist.com/donate. You give whatever value you think you receive from this show. And we'll be back probably tomorrow with Frank and your calls as we wrap up 2024. All right. Take care. Good night. The way they comb their hair makes me want to say it's a wonderful place. It's a wonderful place. It's a wonderful place. Are you?